right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining in. This is Mark Sussman. You're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, and every week I invite various individuals, people who I consider cutting-edge thought leaders, people who share their wisdom with us, and hopefully we grow, we expand, and we think of new ideas, and hopefully we think of possibilities that we wouldn't have thought of otherwise. We're open to considering them. And I have somebody today who is a best-selling author. She's sold over 25 million copies of her books. So they're always on the New York bestseller list. She's got a new book out called Love Story. And we were just talking off air. And in her background, in all this time she has to write all these books, her and her husband have adopted 3 children from Haiti. We were just talking about that, and so let's meet her. She is Karen Kingsbury. Thanks for being my guest, Karen.
Well, thank you for having me, Mark. This is great to have a chance to have a conversation.
Yes, and I hear you've had a pretty busy day. Your book just came out. The new book, when did it come out? Is today the day?
Today is the day, yeah. It's a big day. It's like
Christmas
for an author, you know.
I know. And the name of the book is Love Story. It's interesting, the description that they talk about you is you write life-changing fiction, and you've been called America's favorite inspirational author. And that's quite a statement. So how have you kind of got to this place you've been? How long have you been writing for? I mean, I know you've written, 20 books?
Well, you know, I think it might even be more like 40-plus books, I feel like. I don't know. I think there's 20. There's definitely 20-plus books in the just with the Baxter family. But, you know, Mark, I started writing when I was probably 5. I would take paper and just staple it together. And my first book, which my mom saved and gave it to me at my college graduation, my first book was called The Horse, and it was spelled wrong. So I had a rocky start. But you know, stayed with it, and it was nice.
Wow.
I studied writing through school, and I was a reporter for several years before I began writing books.
Wow. So what was the occasion to write your first book? What motivated you're a reporter, and do you have a family at this time when you start writing books, or how did that happen? What was going on?
Well, yes, I was a reporter when I met my husband. So we've now been married 29 years, but this takes us back to the late 80s. And we were dating, and then, you know, as we got married, I was a reporter. And I was working on the front page at that point as a general assignment reporter, which, you know, I had kind of a Sunday feature story was my job. They wanted something with emotion. And so they would give me a story idea on a Monday, and by Friday I would turn it in, and it would run on Sunday. But it was 10-plus hour day, you know, shifts. I mean, I would be working sometimes 12 hours a day. So we'd been married a little bit, and then I found out I was pregnant, and it was way sooner than we kind of thought we were going to have children. I mean, we were in our mid-20s, but we kind of thought we would wait a little bit. But with this now on the horizon, it was like, oh, no, you know, I don't want to be gone from my child that many hours a day. So my husband, he's just such a a godly man who loves, just he loves people, and he's not religious. He's just a man who has a relationship with God in a beautiful way and loves
mm-hmm.
Jesus. So anyway, he said, look, we're going to pray and God will give us a way that you can ride it home. And it just seemed very unlikely, you know, from my sort of doubting perspective. But
right.
over the kind of next few months, this story that I had written that was a sad, tragic, cautionary tale about a girl killed by her friends was just sad. But I sold it to People magazine, and an agent contacted me, and he said, you know, this would make a great book. So I wrote a proposal, thinking nothing that this would go anywhere. And
right.
4 days before my maternity leave was up, he called, and he had gotten me 3 times my annual salary as an advance. So I went in and quit the next day. And, you know, I've been home writing books ever since. Now, the first 4 were true crime, but I wrote my first actual, like, inspirational novel, kind of stepped away from the darkness toward the light in, you know, 1997. So for the last 20 years, I've been writing this fiction that we call life-changing fiction.
Wow. So where were you living when you wrote your first book?
I was living in Los Angeles. You know, that's where we got married, and it was where I worked for the newspaper. And then we moved to Washington State because one of our second child, Tyler, he had environmental asthma, so he couldn't handle the smog in L.A. So we moved
right.
to Washington, and we loved it there. We raised our kids there. And so the Baxter family came to be when I was living in Washington, and for about a 10-year period, I pretty much wrote exclusively about the Baxters, and people just fell in love with those characters. So everything about writing about that family dovetailed with the time we were raising our kids. So when I wrote Love Story, the new book, it was me going back and saying, let's do the prequel to the Baxter so that anybody can read it and just start at this place and really see that first love story between the patriarch and matriarch of the family, John and Elizabeth Baxter.
So this is real. Okay, so that's so of the whole Baxter series, this is like the prequel.
It is, yeah. I mean, set in the 70s, and there's a current day storyline going on. There's some more minor characters. We get to kind of get a picture of their love story and how it interacts and, you know, impacts the stories that are the main
right.
storyline. But you know, it's just a chance to go back and see what was really a beautifully broken story between Elizabeth and John Baxter, and how it came to be that, you know, they survived a very difficult situation, and the love that they shared is now still impacting the adult kids and grandkids decades later.
And so, where did the inspiration? I always liked, you know, to kind of wonder where people get their inspiration, because I know I've written a few books now, not on your level, but it's always these characters. A lot of people, it seems the characters come from something within them or somebody they know inspires them to create, to really develop these characters. And sometimes it's somebody they want to be, or it's their own life, and they just change the names of the people. And I'm just wondering what your process was for doing this.
Well, you know, for me, I always think of myself as a detective of the emotions. You know, I'm out and about.
I like that.
And maybe it's a conversation. Isn't that a fun way to look at it? That, like, I'll be out at Starbucks.
I love
know?
That. Detective
and
of the
emotions. I'm paying attention. You know, I'm like, in line getting my coffee or groceries, or maybe I'm, you know, sitting at a restaurant and I'll overhear a conversation or something at a soccer game. And I'm paying attention, like, wow, there's something deep there. And I'll never write about someone's story, but it will be that thing that will trigger this movie in my head. And I would just like to think that, you know, God just gives me these movies in my head that I can write this book, and he has someone else in mind, someone that needs to hear that story. And really, you know, in a lot of ways, I mean, I couldn't do that, so I'm getting a lot of help from him.
Right. And so these ideas, or do you just kind of – You're more like a channel for a higher power to kind of channel through you. Is that, would you say, is
I kinda,
a good
yeah,
description?
Yeah, I think that's really well said, Mark. I think that's exactly what it is. That I kind of look back. So, you know, I'm the same way now as my husband, in that it's not like we wouldn't consider ourselves religious, but we would consider ourselves very devout Christians who have like a relationship with God. And so I look at Jesus and I say, Jesus was such an interesting, you know, he's God, but man as well. Like when he was teaching on earth, as a teacher, you could study him. And when he wanted to tell you something straight, he would. Or when he wanted to make a point, he might turn over a table. But he, if he wanted to touch your heart, he told a story. And so it's not really that surprising that, you know, even this many thousands of years later, that that's still such a powerful tool, because story has a chance to come in through the back door of the heart where you least expected it. You know, you're getting entertained, you can't stop reading, you're crying, you're laughing. You close that book, a book like Love Story, and now you're like, you know, you really, all of a sudden you're like, I need to call my mom. It's been a while since I've talked to her. Or I need to make time to be with my kids, and I need to put down the phone or whatever it is.
Yeah, Karen, I love that description of, because I'm a big component of if to really convey a message rather than just writing a book about the message, to share it with a story. And I like that description of it comes in through the back door of the heart. That is fantastic. I love that.
Well, I love that description. The spiritual side of these books that I'm writing, one time someone said, so Karen, how do you patch like God onto your stories? And I said, well, it's actually not that at all. Like when I see these stories, I see a story as physical. There's a physical element, sure. There's an intellectual element. You know, there's an emotional element. But there's a spiritual side that is there for every story. I mean, whether you're, you know, angry at God, or maybe you're indifferent to God, or you're running toward him or away from him, there's still a spiritual side. And I can write about that. And all my characters are in every different kind of place. I mean, I've written about the gamut, but the fact that I include the spirituality in it makes it deeper. And I think that resonates with the heart as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I just think that it's great that you do that. Because I do think there's a, with everybody, you're right, there is a spiritual component. Sometimes people forget about that, and they get so wrapped up in the everyday things that are going on in the world. And they read the headlines, or they go on their, you know, on the internet, and all they see are these horrible headlines that are scary, and for a lot of people that are, make you think about how uncertain the world is, and they forget to go inward. And take the time to go inward every day and to just be grateful for what they have and for the abundance in their life and all the blessings. And it's great to create characters that that live that and that people want to read about.
That's really beautifully said. I agree. Yep.
Yeah. And these characters, the Baxter family, were they anybody in your life? I mean, I know I asked you that a little bit before, but I'm just curious, was there an inspiration for these characters?
Well, you know, I was the oldest of five kids, so the idea of like a large family, surely, you know, I lived that out. And so I was on a flight, actually, coming home from Missouri to the West Coast, and all of the first five Baxter books kind of just came to me all in a rush. And again, like that gift, you know, that just kind of comes from God. So it's, I'm writing out titles. I'm like, okay, we'll call the first book Redemption. And then how about they're all R's, so they're easy to remember. So Redemption, Remember, Return, Rejoice, Reunion. And I had all five titles, and I had my family. I could see John and Elizabeth. Like they were all there. So I feel like in many ways, there's not like a person I can say, oh, this character is like this person. But as the storyline developed, I got to the end of those five books, and I had a single day at a soccer game and a conversation that I overheard, and all of a sudden I was completely convinced that there had to be more books in the series.
Wow.
You know, by then I was hearing from readers, and they were saying, we want more of the Baxters, but I just didn't know where it was going to go.
Right.
And this conversation, this older woman, and she's telling her, the person she's sitting there at the soccer game, she's a grandparent, and she says, you know, I just wish that there would be a day where everybody in the family could watch Bobby play soccer. And her friend said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, I've never told you, but when my husband and I were young, we had a baby out of wedlock, and we were forced to give the baby up, and we never saw the baby, and we got married, and our kids are all completely 100% blood related to this child who's out there somewhere, and it's our dream, our lifelong dream, that we would find him. And all of a sudden, sitting there, I thought, oh, my goodness. Okay, what if John and Elizabeth Baxter had a baby out of wedlock and had to give the baby up and never told their kids? I've written 5 books about this family. And finally, on book 5, I reveal the secret, this deep sarcasm, and the secret and how they lived through it and how they walked through it and the devastation and heartache is all what's in this new book of story.
Wow. Sounds great. Yeah, I started it. Seems great.
Oh, you know, good.
And,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Your publicist sent it to me, and I just got it 2 days ago. It sounds great. So you're on a book tour now, and are you heading out to the San Francisco Bay Area?
Not on this tour, but I think we'll do that in the spring.
Okay.
Because from Nashville, when you commit, especially on a bus, because we do the tours on a bus, you almost have to go, okay, we're committing to about 2.5-3 weeks away from home and, you know, kind of start up at Seattle and head down or start at San Diego and head up. But
right.
We will get out there for sure.
So you say on a bus, how many people are with you on the bus?
Well, I usually take some family members, and they help with everything from moving books, you know, boxes, to being a part of the musical element. So we've put together a pretty fun night. It's called Girls Night Out, and this one will be the love story tour, Girls Night Out. So we'll have a theme of talking about love, but we know we tell funny stories, and, you know, some of my kids sing, and we're bringing along a very talented singer, Mackenzie Ray, this time from Liberty University. So she'll be singing. So we have some special music, and we do some, you know, praise songs, type hymn songs in the very beginning, a couple of those songs. And then, you know, we even have like a game show element on this one where people will be laughing their heads off. It's going to be so
wow.
fun.
Meet on the bus
so,
tour?
Yeah. Well, yeah, on the bus tour. So, you know, so we have five in our family that are coming, and then the singer, then we have a sound guy, and we have the person who's kind of a tour manager who makes sure the logistics go well. And we're sponsored by Compassion International. So that's a wonderful, very, very, very authentic, honorable organization that helps to feed and clothe children in poverty. And so you can sponsor a child when you come to the tour, and we get to talk about that too. One of my sons from Haiti gets up and talks about how his sister at 3 died of starvation and how we can prevent that. Like, you know, $29 a month, you can prevent it. So we get to share something that's really meaningful that way too.
So these are people that are, in other words, they're outside people that can be part of the tour on the bus?
Yeah, they are, yes. So we have like, it's like 12 of us. So there's 12 bunks on the bus, which is so hard to picture, but they're not very big.
Uh-huh.
You know, you get into them, you can't sit up or do a lot of movement,
uh-huh.
but you can sleep. And we have a living room in the front and a living room in the back. And, you know, we mostly are sleeping on the bus, but there's some couple hours and we just all get into good conversations. There's TVs everywhere. And if it's the
wow.
NBA playoffs or whatever, we can catch a fun game, and
yes.
we all become, you know, very good friends by the end of the tour.
I went to the game yesterday, the second game of the finals. No, on Sunday. On Sunday I went.
Did you?
So.
Good for you. That's it.
Yeah,
quite this one-sided, you know.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm from the Bay Area, so obviously I'm for the Warriors, but we'll,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
we were ahead last
They're
year.
They're so good, right?
Zip. They're great.
Yeah, they're so
yeah.
good.
It's very, it's kind of, it's an experience, and it's just that sometimes, you know, when you get onto the level of mastery, you just start to have these other types of experiences to where you, you know, this idea of I use the metaphor, you know, since we're talking about basketball, playing above the rim. It's to when people
yeah, exactly.
achieve.
Exactly, playing above the rim. That's right. And
the
beautiful way that the Warriors do the fast break. I mean, it is
yes.
just art. It's art in motion. And honestly, they're the one team that they can be up by 30 points. And watching Steph Curry and the group play, it's like you're mesmerized. You can't turn the channel. It's not boring when they're up
it
by
is.
30 because it's so beautiful.
It
beautiful
is.
Basketball.
I know. But you know what
a former sports writer.
You are?
I started off as a sports writer before I moved over to features, so I love it. Yeah, my husband loves that about me, that we can watch a game and I get it.
Well, what's interesting is that I read a lot of books, and I think most writers do, and I read a lot of mystery novels. I was a criminal lawyer in my past life before I got into, you know, being an author myself and a life coach. And one of the writers is Michael Connelly, who wrote The Lincoln Lawyer. And I read a lot of his books, and he tells a story just like you through characters. And he was talking about one of the characters was a sports writer, and he was saying how sports writers half are the best writers because they're writing about something that people saw. It's not like it's not like they're making it up. They're writing about something that you saw yourself, and to make it interesting, you already saw it, and here you are reading somebody else's description of what you saw about how it's a certain skill. And I remember that statement. And so it's interesting that that is your background, being a sports writer, because it's – and now you're so prolific. And do you have, like, a regular routine about writing? Do you have a regular – do you write every day, or what do you do?
Well, I definitely read every day, and I have to completely agree. You know, we'll get Sports Illustrated just so that I can read those feature stories, because maybe that's where I became the detective, you know, of the emotions. Because when you go to a game, you better come back with more than the line score and, you know, the play-by-play, because otherwise, you're right, nobody's going to read that. You've got to hunt and look and talk to people and find, oh, wait, you know, your mom passed away a week ago and you played this game in memory of her. Okay, now we have a story. You know, it's got to be something more to it. And, of course, sports is such an emotional time. And when you are playing a game, you can be so streaky because there's more going on. You're not a machine, and you're affected by your emotions in terms of, you know, what's your inspiration to have 40 points in a game. There must be something behind that. You got to figure it out. So, you know, that is definitely probably where that came from.
Yeah. You know, I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. Karen Kingsbury is my guest. She has a new book, Love Story, and we're kind of coming to the end of the story here of our time together, but I always like to ask my guests, since it is the Inspire Possibility Show, what inspires you right now?
You know, I would say the readers, because I love being at an event where I'm speaking, and I know I'm going to be heading out on tour. Of course, I'll be doing speaking there. But meeting people face-to-face, seeing them with tears in their eyes saying, your book saved my marriage, your book brought me closer to my children or my husband, whatever it would be, and maybe even closer to God. When I see that, it's like, wow, I have a great responsibility with the gift of writing that I've been given to keep telling these stories that people fall in love with the fiction and they can't put them down, and that's great. I love hearing that. But when they walk away changed, I mean, that's a great responsibility, and it inspires me to continue for sure. And I think another thing that I want to be a part of is saving the bookstore. So we don't want to, I mean, online's great and it's very convenient, but we still want bookstores in our communities and in our country. So to that end, I have a contest going on that now for the next few weeks, if you go to the bookstore, any bookstore, it can even be a Target, we're glad they're selling books, whatever, go to the bookstore, hold a copy of Love Story, take a picture, selfie, or bring some friends, make it fun, and then post it on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, with the hashtag LoveStoryBook. And then I'm going to go through and pick one person get an all-expenses-paid trip and come and spend a day with me in Nashville. So I'm doing my part to try to keep those bookstores open.
Wow. So if I heard you, you're saying for people to go to your local bookstore, pick up Love Story, take a photograph of it, and then hashtag Love Story, what was the last part?
Book. So hashtag Love Story Book. And just post it on social
and
media. We're going to be going through those.
Wow. Amazing. Great idea.
Yeah, you know, and if they want to find out more, well, it's fun. You know, it gets us all involved.
And what is the reward? What is the prize if they're picked? They win what now?
A trip for two, all expenses paid, to come and spend a day with me in Nashville.
Wow. Wow, what a what an amazing idea and opportunity, you know, for what you're doing. What gives you hope right now?
You know, what gives me hope, I guess, is my faith. I have to say that it doesn't matter. I'm not afraid of life. I'm not afraid of the things that are happening out there, because every day is an adventure when you have a relationship with the Lord. It's just like there's going to be a divine appointment every single day. See, talking with you, Mark, this is a moment that God, you know, put together for us, and I have a friend now in you, and that's a great thing to know that today wasn't just deadlines, you know. I mean, every day can have some drudgery in it, but that's not what life is, and in life we have to look for the miraculous moments like this that make a difference, and people like you who make a difference. So that gives me a lot of hope.
Yeah. You know, what I say is that how I make sense of it is that we're all gathering our tribe of kindred souls. And so when we go through life and we say, what are we doing? What gives us purpose? And by reaching out and connecting, I was at a bookstore. I had an amazing experience on Saturday. I was at a local Barnes & Noble at a book signing for my book. And a friend of mine was there, and he took a photograph of me, and he said, "Let's get one together." And there were these two girls standing there, and he went up to them and he says, "You two girls look like pros. Could you take a photo of me and my buddy?" And he gave his phone to the girls, and one of them took a photo, and then a minute later she came up to me and said, "Give me a hug." And she said to me, then 3 minutes later she said, "Give me another hug." And she said, "Wow, you wrote a book." And I said, "How old are you?" I said, "Are you in middle school?" She said, "No, I'm in elementary school." I said, "How old are you?" She says, 10. Mm-hmm. I said, I didn't even learn to read until I was 7. And the mom was there, and the mom was looking at my book. And that was like, I'm always into every day in terms of what the highlight of the day is. You know, I'm always in that question of, I wonder what the highlight was. And later that evening, I was at my friend's house, and I said, "Listen, this," and his wife, I said, "This is beautiful where we are." I said, "But I got to say, the highlight was that 10-year-old girl coming up to me and giving me a hug. It was just so moving, and that it just touched my heart so much. It was so, like, unexpected. It was like, it was grace, you know, the word grace. And it was just so beautiful, and that was just, you know, doing what I'm doing, and I'm sure you've kind of experienced that a lot in your work.
Well, you know, it's true, and it's just children have such a beautiful, natural, easy faith, you know, a natural, easy love for people. And you know what you said about gathering the tribe of kindred spirits? I think what you're doing and what I'm, you know, praying that I'm doing is adding to that tribe. So there may be somebody who has been walking through life just kind of in the darkness, and they might read a book like Love Story, and now their whole course, their entire journey ahead has changed forever, that they're going to be on the side of light. And that's just a privilege to be able to be used that way by God.
Now, can people contact you?
They can. In fact, my mom is the most amazing connector. So she'll go through and read. I don't call them fans. I don't know. I just call them reader friends. So reader friends will write an email, and her full-time job is to respond. She'll say, "I'm responding from Karen's mom." And then she'll tell me the highlights, like you said, of the day, like, "Oh, Karen has this reader. She wrote in. You need to pray for her. She had this happen or that." So we stay very, very connected to the readers. And then, of course, my website, which is KarenKingsbury.com, and that's KarenKingsbury.com. You can find out more about Love Story there, or connect with me on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, and find out about our family, you know, our adoption story, and like you were saying, just the power of love within your home and how that can spill into what you're doing outside the home.
And your email for people to send that message that your mother goes through, what is that email?
Yes, absolutely. It's Karen@KarenKingsbury.com.
That's easy, huh? That's an easy one.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Make it easy. I think we make life more complicated than it needs to be, right?
That's just
well, listen,
true.
I want to thank you, Karen. for spending this time with us and kind of sharing your journey, your path, your wisdom, your story. It's a beautiful story, and sounds like, you know what I'm thinking? Sounds like a love story.
Nice, Mark. That's why you're the pro.
Yeah. So, any final things you want to, any thoughts or you want to share with our audience?
Well, lessons, you know, that I learned from John and Elizabeth Baxter, my characters, is that you have one chance to write the story of your life. And so make it a bestseller.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks again to Karen Kingsbury for being our guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. Each week we have another amazing person. And until the meantime, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.